telesummit for Pathways to Vibrant Health and Well-Being. I am Sue Erta, your host for this telesummit, and I am so grateful and really honored to be here with our authors from this book, Pathways to Vibrant Health and Well-Being. They are sharing such a wealth of knowledge, and really they're sharing themselves for you so that you can have your own healing journey, whatever that is for you, in your own life. And today, I'm really happy to be talking with Andrea Hummel. She's an amazing author, amazing woman, and I'm so happy to introduce her to you today, and I'm so happy for her to be talking with you. So here we go. I'm going to read a brief introduction of Andrea, and then we'll get started talking with her. Andrea Hummel is an anthropologist and ritualist. Her passion is helping peace builders and global movers and shakers be more effective in creating harmony and understanding internationally. She helps individuals and organizations take risks, break through fears, discover strengths, and tap into their incredible potential. Since 1991, she has been teaching at universities and providing seminars to nonprofits in cross-cultural settings. Andrea is launching a new coaching program incorporating Jungian archetypes. She has trained in action-based methods, including shadow work and psychodrama. She earned her master's in Washington, D.C., where she resides with her family, and she loves traveling to keep up her languages. And I really am grateful to welcome today Andrea Hummel. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, Sue?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be talking with you today. I really am. And I love your topic that you have today, and I'm interested to learn more about it. It's rewrite your past by acting out. And that's interesting because acting out often has negative connotations, and I know that you're going to help us, you know, demystify that and help us understand what that is. But let's talk first about you a little bit. I understand from your bio here that you're an anthropologist and a corporate trainer. So what is that?
Well, anthropologists study human behavior. They study other cultures. And the way I got interested in other cultures was to see how people do things differently in different countries because I grew up in the U.S. but with parents who are from Germany. So I grew up consciously bicultural. Which means that at home I spoke German, I ate German food, I didn't have hamburgers or hot dogs, I even read European literature. But then when I went to school, I was completely Anglo. I spoke English, I knew who all the Disney characters were, all the slang words. So it fascinated me from an early age how my family could be so different from other families, but at the same time, we did have a lot of the same values as the rest of society. And so I was able to see how we can be part of the larger whole, yet still be separate, still be our own unique selves. And I really wanted to share that feeling, that quirkiness, and really that beauty of cross-cultural encounters with other people. And the corporate trainer part of my background is because I wanted to teach that to other people, teach cultural diversity and diversity in the workplace, because I realized that anthropology really translates in the non-academic realm into cultural diversity. And that was a hot topic back in the 90s. But I didn't want to teach at the university like my father, but instead I wanted to do the same thing in the business and nonprofit sector. And I kind of fell into doing corporate training because a friend of mine asked me to help him teach a workshop. And by the time I got through that, I thought, you know what? This is so much fun. I want to be doing this all the time. And so I started seeking out opportunities to do that. I did a lot of pro bono work at the beginning and then was able to build a business around that. So I've been doing training and consulting since 1991. And a few years back, I moved from teaching people about cultural differences in order to prevent conflict between countries and ethnic groups to the other end of the spectrum, to peace building. And the way I define that is really healing the conflict after it's already happened. So what I was doing before was trying to prevent it through education, and now I'm healing it once it's already happened, because there's lots of situations in which we can't heal those, we can't prevent those misunderstandings. And most recently, I've gotten interested in healing the conflict inside of people, what happens inside of you, rather than between two people.
That sounds amazing. And, you know, we are such a multicultural society that what you're doing really makes so much sense because, you know, we all do have all these different backgrounds and our parents are from all these different places. And you know, here we are trying to incorporate this into corporations and businesses and nonprofits and in our lives, you know, in marriages even. And so I think that's amazing that you're doing that. And I love that you're coming from the peace building side. That's beautiful. So now I know you kind of mentioned this, but how did you really get interested in this line of work?
As I said in the Pathways book, for years I was focused on taking risks in the outside world. I did a lot of traveling, wanted to have adventures, learn about other ethnic groups, basically go out there and find out what the world was like, explore the world. And but then I realized that what all people have in common, all the people that I was meeting, was that despite where they come from, what language they speak, what food they eat, what they have in common is resilience, this inner strength. Because as human beings, we're really capable of facing incredible hardships, all kinds of situations, whether it's war or personal hardship or climate change, and being able to overcome that. And we still have the capacity to rise above that. And my other inspiration was that my mother has been writing a book for a few years now, collecting stories of people who've done just that, overcoming hardship. She actually started writing about family stories specifically of relatives who had grown up during World War II and some of the difficult circumstances they overcame. And that then morphed into collecting stories from people even outside the family and going back several generations. And just this incredible collection of stories. And so what I got out of that, the basic line, the thread that runs through my mother's book, is that all these people turn their experiences into positives. They really turn it into a lesson, something good about their life, something inspiring. And that reminds me that there's a spark, a light, an indomitable spirit inside every human being to really overcome all kinds of situations in life. And that's what I want to be nurturing professionally. I want to remind people to empower them that despite the cultural differences that we have and the fact that the governments want to wage war on each other and mistrust each other, kill innocent people simply for being different, we do still have the capacity to overcome these differences. And so what I want to do is harness that capacity, that spark, to overcome what we have inside of us, the internal blocks that keep us from connecting with each other.
Beautiful. And I love that. It's true, I believe. We all have such resilience. It's amazing how strong we are when we are faced with something that's difficult. So I love that your mom's doing those stories as well. And that's some of what our stories in the Pathways books are too, showing that, you know, people go through a lot of stuff in their lives, and yet they still come out very strong and even better people, stronger people, and more compassionate people on the other side of it. So, Andrea, tell us exactly what is it that you do? For instance, how do you help your clients?
Well, I used to just talk at them, not exactly talk at them, but I would tell them about cultural differences, and then I progressed to showing them what it feels like to be different. I did a lot of simulations and role plays, but what I realized then was that this was addressing the symptoms of the problem. And if you say the problem is the misunderstandings between people. So what I do now is instead of looking at addressing the symptoms, I start at the root of the problem. And what I mean by the root is the original event or the original belief that's blocking an individual or an ethnic group from moving forward. And I know all that sounds kind of esoteric, but I'm really talking about the stereotypes that we have about people that we don't know. And if we take that down to a more familiar level, you could say, if you have a spouse that's from a different culture and you have misunderstandings right there, right in your own home, that's based on old beliefs, old stereotypes that you have about people from different backgrounds. So I realized that I have to let people experience what the root cause is. So again, my training is more experiential. I try to get people out of their head and into their body or into their feelings where they can get really clear with themselves. And I used to have quite a challenge with so-called politically correct language, politically correct behavior, because I see that as people just, again, changing the symptoms, changing the surface level of how they interact with each other, really rather than what's really going on inside of them. So most of the success I've had is with a method I call sociodrama. And my training has been in one particular type of sociodrama, specifically shadow work. So what that means, and I'm talking about group work more than individual coaching now, it means looking at the shared history of a group, let's say Palestinians, and how historically they've been at odds with another group, in this case, obviously, the Israelis. If we were talking about a situation in the U.S., we could talk about African Americans and white Americans and how there's historically been problems between those two groups. So again, getting back to the workshop, what we do is we take one historical event that happened between these two groups, either something going back looking at history or something very localized, let's say something that happened 5 years ago between two women in the marketplace from different backgrounds. And then in that group setting, we duplicate that event, but we'd put a lot of safeguards in place, of course, because it's just the energies and feelings of the event that we're interested in, not so much duplicating the pain. So we put on a play, and it's based on the real events, the real historical events. So the group, as representatives of the ethnic group, would see the play, see it unfolding in front of them, they'd feel it, and they'd actually be playing roles within that. But the important thing, and this is really where the healing and the understanding comes from, is for the group to come up with a new ending. They act out an outcome for the historical event as they would have liked for it to happen. So this may be different than the way it really happened. The reason for this is that it helps them feel more healthy, it helps them feel more empowered, it gives them a sense of what it would feel like for something to be different. And obviously, after they do that play, after they put on that play, there's a lot of discussion and debriefing. And I find that to be an incredibly healing process, too, because people now are able to actually look at the situation with a very different perspective.
That sounds amazing, and it sounds really valuable to be able to do that.
Yeah. An example of that on a more individual basis would be when I'm talking about one-on-one coaching, acting out really is a term that has a bad reputation. And we usually associate that term with socially unacceptable behavior, but that's exactly why I use the term acting out, so that...
Will you tell us exactly, what is that? What is it, acting out? What do you mean by saying that? Because I do, we think of acting out, kids are acting out, they're misbehaving, maybe something like that. So will you give us an example of acting out? What is that, and how does that help us to rewrite our past?
Right, yeah. Another way to say that would be acting it out. In other words, acting out something from your past. But I deliberately wanted to say act out because it's got negative connotations, but I want to turn that into something positive because in this society, probably more Western society than some of the other ones, you're supposed to keep your bad emotions inside and deal with them through your head rather than through your body. But I really think that we need to get it out of the body where we can actually deal with it rather than just talk circles around ourselves in our own head. So let me give you an example of how that would look like on one-on-one coaching. Let's say that you've never been able to have good relationships with your bosses. You've always ended up with bosses that are intimidating, demanding, rude, whatever. You tried everything. You can switch jobs, talk to them. But still, you seem to get into the same dynamic with your boss. So if you came to me for help in communicating, then I'd suggest doing a role play on that. So I'd have you act out one of those scenarios, act out a particular interaction you had with your boss, say maybe the week before, because that's very specific. You can wrap your mind around that. And you can use props, sounds, music, costumes, whatever, to make it as emotionally real for you as possible. So even though you start with a specific event, really your body takes that as a more general event, an archetypal event, and you go back to, and again, this is not your head going back so much as your emotions going back to the original event that set you up for having a difficult relationship with not just bosses, but in this case, actually, people who are in a more powerful position in relationship to you. So in the example I'm talking about now, that could be you realize that the reason you have a difficult time with people in power is because you had a third grade teacher always yell at his students. So when you act out that scenario and you take it back to you as a third grader and you with that other energy, that other person, that teacher, you can then really get into what it feels like. You can give that play a different ending. And you can do something now that you wouldn't have been able to do back then in that scenario, which is to stand up to the teacher, be strong, tell him to treat your friends well. And because there's someone else, another role player, playing the role of the teacher in that original event, you will be able to see that person responding in a different way too. So again, what you've done that way is you've rewritten your past.
Yep, I can see that. That sounds terrific. You know, so Andrea, what is a typical client? Who are the people that you work with?
Well, it would be individuals for one-on-one coaching, like a scenario I just shared, where it could be a nonprofit, government agency. I like to work with refugee aid organizations, Peace Corps, Anti-Defamation League, cross-cultural mediators, basically any agency or group that wants to address the baggage of the past that really gets in the way of resolving conflict in the present, because you can't resolve the present until you remove the blocks.
That makes perfect sense. You know, Andrea, in the chapter you wrote for this book, you wrote about risk-taking. So how does that tie in with your professional work?
Well, really, risk-taking is anything you do that's outside of your comfort zone, anything that's new and unfamiliar. But on the other hand, that's the very same things that make you feel alive and really make you feel on fire. And so, again, what I really want to do is help people connect back with that spark, that resiliency that lets them overcome anything in life.
I love that. It's very, very important. And so tell us, are there any more exciting risks you'll be taking in the near horizon that we can talk about?
Well, I'm always looking for new challenges. I mean, I'd jump at the chance to work overseas and do some work in Russia, Middle East, any place that I don't know the language yet. Also, obviously, the challenges of raising children, challenges of living in a big city like Washington. There's always new things coming up.
There certainly are. Well, Andrea, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing yourself. I love the work that you're doing. I think I'm going to start acting out a little bit myself these days. And we really appreciate you sharing your story in the book. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Great. And for all of you on the call, thank you so much for joining us for this amazing telesummit, listening to these incredible women share their stories. There is such a wealth of knowledge here, and this is a gift for you. So continue, please, to listen to this telesummit on pathways to vibrant health and well-being. Thank you all.
Living from our core, living from our power, we all get more.
This telesummit is brought to you by the co-authors of Pathways to Vibrant Health and Well-Being and Power for You Publishing, sharing wisdom and shining light. Be sure to buy the Pathways to Vibrant Health and Well-Being anthology book on our launch date, Thursday, March 20th. Visit pathwaystowellbeingbook.com for details and receive more than 50 gifts from our inspiring partners.
I know I am powerful. No, you are powerful. No, we are powerful too. Powerful you. Powerful you. Powerful you. Powerful you.